the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
O Lord, I have heard the report of you.
And your word, O Lord, is my ear.
You went out from the salvation of your people.
For the salvation of your people.
You crushed the head of the house of the wicked.
Laying him bare from thigh to neck.
You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors.
Who came like a whirlwind to scatter me.
I will rejoice in the Lord. Alleluia.
I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Jesus, you were made alive by the Spirit, descended into hell as victor and Lord, and exposed our enemy, shattered and defeated. As you, O Savior, have turned all of Satan's accusations against us into empty noises and rescued us from everlasting fire, fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that we ignore the devil's lies, despise his temptations, and live through this brief darkness as boldly and joyfully as you marched through hell, for you are one God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Christ's descent into hell is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the third chapter. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side,
let Israel now say.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side,
when people rose up against us,
then they would have swallowed us up alive.
When their anger was kindled against us,
then the flood would have swept us away.
The torrent would have gone over us.
Then over us would have gone
the raging waters.
Blessed be the Lord,
who has not given us as prey to their feet.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers.
The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the second chapter, and 2 Peter's first letter, the third chapter. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. Then, having drawn the sting of all the powers raged against us, he exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated, put to death by flesh. He was made alive by the Spirit, by whom he went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has been raised from the dead. Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him, and a crowd was sitting around them. And they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And before he rose from the dead, he descended into hell as victor over Satan. Our text is the first part of the epistle reading that we heard, Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I'll read them again. This is from the J.B. Phillips New Testament translation. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against us, he exposed them shattered, empty, and defeated in his glorious triumphant act. This is our text. Whenever we speak about Christ's descent into hell, or about Satan, one of the places we tend to go is to this question: what does Satan have on me? So what does Satan have on you? What whispers, what insinuations, what accusations, what darkness does he use to try to hold you? And you know that he'll use everything he can. He'll throw it all at you, including the kitchen sink, if he can. And then Satan will make stuff up just because. Because he loves the lies, and he hates what is good and what is true, and he hates your God, and he hates you. He loves nothing more than to keep you chained and cowering and scared. And if you ask him, he thinks he's got a loud roar. And he wants you to think so too. He thinks his bark should send shivers down your spine and make you very, very afraid. What does Satan have on you? But I know where that question probably sends you, because it's the same place it sends me. Inside. Right where he wants us, curved and coiled back into the darkness and the prison of our own hearts. What does Satan have on me? And my mind starts to wonder, just what does he have? And then, oh, and oh no, and not that. And I remember all the things that I'd rather have forgotten. And that's when Satan starts salivating. That's when his claws come out. That's when he growls and talks and wants to remind me what I am and that I should be his. And what can you or I do to stop him? We've believed too many of his lies, and we've done his bidding far too often. Jesus described Satan's glory days like this from Mark 3. When a strong man, and he means Satan, fully armed, that is, with the record of our sins, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his property is safe. God help us. And he does. God has not left us alone with Satan. He didn't leave Adam and Eve alone with Satan. He could have. After they ate the fruit in the garden, God could have just said, "That's it, that's enough, I'm done, I'm out, you're on your own." But he didn't. He came, and he addressed the devil to his face, spoke to Satan in a way that Adam and Eve had not been able to do. And God said, "There will be enmity, hatred, strife, anger between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." It was a promise. You might say the seed of a promise. The promise that although the strong man had taken property and kept it safe, and he was fully armed. Although it looked like Satan was the ruler of this world, a seed had been planted. One would come. There would be one born of a woman who would crush the serpent's head. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his property is safe. But, Jesus said, but, on the other hand, however, when a stronger man comes and attacks him and overpowers him, wham! The strong man is nothing anymore. When the stronger man comes and takes away the strong man's armor, when he takes away the things the strong man has been trusting in, then he takes the loot as well. And you know what he means when he's talking about the loot. The stronger man who overcomes the strong man, Jesus who overcomes Satan, is not after money or riches or worldly possessions. He's after you. You are the loot he comes to take away. And he doesn't wait until you ask. He doesn't even wait until you cry out. He comes and he does it because of his love. He came and he took away the evidence. He pulled our sins right out of Satan's hands and he said, these are mine. Charge me with it. You can't have these anymore. He took away the evidence against us. And he bore our sins in his own body. To be honest, I'm never sure that I really grasp the depth of what that means, of what he did. He took away the evidence against us and bore our sins in his own body. What evidence was that? The evidence of the broken laws, the broken commandments, the things that we've done and said and thought, and the things we didn't do or say or think and we should have, all of that evidence he's taken away. And he has utterly annulled it, made it null and void and nothing. Jesus didn't say when he went to the cross, I've done my job, now you do yours. He didn't say, I've got most of it covered, but read the fine print. He said, it is finished. It's over. He's got nothing on you anymore. Satan may think he has a lot on you. He may tell you that he has a lot on you, but don't let him gaslight you. What does Satan really have on you? Nothing. Nada, zilch, zero, zippo. Why? Because it's all on Jesus. Satan can't blackmail us anymore. The accusations against you were hung over Jesus' head. They were nailed to the cross with him, driven in with spikes, solid, there on the cross. So what can Satan say to us now? How can he use those things against us which have already been paid in full by Christ? I mean, he wants you to think that he can. He wants you to think that there's some way that what Christ did didn't really take it all away, didn't really pay for all of your sins, that there's still something left that you owe or that might come back to bite you. But it's not true. The accuser's mouth has been stopped by a cross. I mean, think of it as a roaring wild lion who is ready to devour you, and here comes Christ, and he simply sticks a crucifix in his mouth so that he can't say anything anymore. All of your sins were paid for on the cross. We know this. We celebrated this on Good Friday, and we celebrate it every single Sunday as we rejoice in and receive again the fruits of Christ's death. Sin is forgiven. It is not hanging over your head. So there is no reason for you to hold on to it or to try to keep it over your head or think of it as being over your head. And there is certainly no reason for you to despair, because that is the devil's work. That is not the work of Christ. And we know as well, not only was Christ crucified for us, but he is also risen from the dead. This is the receipt of his victory. We get to leave with that receipt in hand, knowing that it's all been paid. And if the wages of sin is death, then what are the wages of Christ's death? But life. Eternal life for you and for me. And sandwiched in between those two events, he was crucified, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. When we confess the Apostles' Creed, we also confess this: he descended into hell. What do we mean with those words? We believe that the entire person, God and man, Jesus Christ, one person but two natures, descended into hell after the burial. We believe that in descending into hell, he went there not to suffer hell, but rather to proclaim his victory. He conquered the devil, he destroyed hell's power, and he took from the devil all his might. It is a mystery, and it is a victory, and it is a joy and a blessing that we confess not only that our sin has been paid for, and not only that death has been defeated, but in between, that the devil's mouth was stopped when Christ went triumphant into hell. Some of you have heard this analogy before. I think it's worth using again. Maybe a little old, because the football glory days of the Patriots are past, but this is the way I picture it. It is the Patriots defeating another team, the Chiefs or whoever it might be, and then the quarterback taking a victory parade through the opponent's home city, dragging the opposing quarterback behind him. Jesus is the winning quarterback, and Satan is the one he's dragging behind, whose face he's rubbing in his loss. And Jesus defeated the power of the devil, not for himself, but for you and for me. Because he knows we're still scared at times, though we don't need to be. Because he knows the devil is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Because he knows the world wants us to believe that the devil is super, super scary. We believe that he is real. We believe that he is the enemy. But boy, we've got one better on our side. Way better. As I think about the things that Satan thought he had against us, but no longer does, I also think of how we might apply this to our own lives. If there is nothing hanging over our heads any longer, if our sin has been paid in full, then are we going to hold other things against other people and over their heads? As we come and receive the full and free forgiveness and the proclamation that Christ has paid all, will we hold our neighbor's sins against them? Will we, in effect, do the work of the devil and be the mouth of the accuser to throw our husbands, our wives, our sisters, our brothers, our son or daughter or father or mother's sins in their face and remind them that they should pay for it? Or will we rather go as what we are, the beloved children of God, and instead of throwing the sins of others in their face, bring the forgiveness that we've received and share that with them as well? We do not wear the scarlet letter because our sins have been forgiven, they have been washed clean, and our neighbors do not wear the scarlet letter either because Christ paid for their sins as well. Remember, he didn't say, "I paid for some," or "I paid for yours," but "it is finished." They've all been paid for. having drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against them, against us, he exposed them. Today I am here to tell you that because Christ died, because he descended, because he rose, because he lives and reigns, everything Satan thinks he has against you is empty, and his power is shattered, and he has been exposed as a fraud, like a little kitty cat, rather than a roaring lion. This is the triumphant act of our Lord. The question today is not what has Satan got on you. The question really today, when we celebrate Christ's descent into hell, is this: what have you got on Satan? And I'll tell you what you've got. You've got Jesus. You've got the goods. You've got the forgiveness of sins. You've got the promise of life and salvation. You have a living and risen Savior. If Satan wants to come after you, you just point him to Jesus.
Amen.
Or Jesus himself will come and say, you want to mess with this? You've got the goods on Satan. You do not need to be afraid or scared or chained or cowering. And you don't need to live in the lies. And you don't need to go back to the sins. Christ has taken them away. And Satan is powerless and he is empty. And our Lord is living and he is risen. And he is your Lord through life, through death, and into the life of the world to come. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, your Son Jesus Christ is the stronger man who plundered Satan's house. He cast out demons by your finger. He removed the accusations of the devil that stood against us by his death on the cross. And then he descended into hell to announce his complete victory. As the God of peace, now crush Satan under our feet. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light in the darkness. Send your Holy Spirit so that we would keep your word by believing the truth and by showing mercy and love toward others. Lead us to confess Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, with boldness and courage in all that we say and do, that we might shine as lights in this world. Lord, in your mercy. Father, Satan fell like lightning through the ministry of those whom Jesus sent. Bless all pastors and congregations, that they might live together in Christ. Be with all missionaries, especially Michael and Nancy Jane in Italy, that they would know your love and be your instruments for growing a faithful and vibrant church in Eurasia. Sustain, we pray, all Christians in times of persecution and distress. Pour out your Holy Spirit on the hearts and minds of our youth, especially our confirmands, Louis, Matthew, Nora, Mary, Callie, and Landon, that as they study your holy word and saving doctrine, they would be strengthened in the faith and guided in holy living. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to your Son. Bless faithful and godly rulers, but curb those who are wicked and break their power, that all would bend their knees before Jesus. Hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, who would undermine church, state, and home. Tenderly care for all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Jillian and baby Penny and Liz. We also thank you for the birth of Oliver, James, to Brian and Shayla. Grant your care to mother and child and bring Oliver safely to holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy. Father of mercy, hear our prayers for the people of Haiti. Restrain violence, bring stability, and make your gospel known amid the darkness of that land. Prosper those who work good and bring to nothing those who work evil. Protect the poor and defenseless. Give faithfulness and boldness to the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Haiti and bless their witness and their work. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, our spirits faint, our hearts are desolate, and we have nowhere to turn but to you. Deliver us and all who are in need from Satan, sin, death, and despair. We pray especially for Burke, Rick, Earl, John, Sue, Marie, Blair, Charlie and his family, Janet, Karen, Kristen, Rick and Teresa, Ron and Mayu, Verity, and the Anders family, Andres family. We also give you thanks for hearing our prayers on behalf of Stan and Mary Lou and Eric and Joe. Let your good spirit bring them out of all troubles. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, after the resurrection, Jesus proclaimed peace to his disciples and comforted them by his real bodily presence. Make us confident in his mercy toward us and gladden our hearts as he comes to us in his body and blood to forgive, renew, and strengthen us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you created Adam in your image and gave him Eve as his helpmate. And after their fall into sin, you promised them a Savior who would crush the devil's might. By the goodness and loving kindness of Christ our Savior, number us among those who are coming out of the great tribulation with the seal of the living God upon our foreheads and with our robes made white by the blood of the Lamb. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It
is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 33, starting at the first verse. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, at their host. Shout for joy in the Lord, all you righteous, praise bent, befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre, make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him the new song, play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap, and he puts the deeps in the storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Behold, the eye of the Lord is all those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from the death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting.
Amen.
Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have given us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your blood and body, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.